Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You know, the beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them.
Baseball spoken here. It's time for the second game of our radio doubleheader.
That is a reviewable play, but the Yankees choose not to review it.
A swing and a drive to deep right, away back, off the pole, Francisco Lindor.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch, a deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
It's 2-2 in the bottom of the sixth, and I just can't get my eyes off that man with the tall head.
It's quite a game, but man, that guy is ugly. You know that guy hasn't blinked this entire game? Just a dead-eyed idiot out on a Thursday afternoon.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
We're going to be awesome for you right now.
On 1080.
Hey, one for one. That's batting 1,000, dude.
That's baseball, baby.
Help us, please. Somebody help us.
The Fan.
Yeah. Hey, I remember. Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed the first hour, you can check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast. And speaking of that, Beers on Us comes out tomorrow right around 4 o'clock as Mike and I went out to Hood River. I had a wedding to be at, which was an absolute gorgeous and fantastic wedding. Thanks to Dan and Emily for hosting, and Jay for the house, and Mike came out, met me, and we took advantage of the situation, and we stopped at Double Mountain in Frame, chatted with some nice people there. JR from the text line reached out, and that was fun. We had a good time.
It was a lot of fun. I'm glad that I came out and did the podcast, and I got to go sift through it a little bit because it's a long one. Like we promised you guys last week, if you heard the last week's podcast, it's at the moment raw audio, almost 2 hours. So I'm going to sift through it and see if I need to edit anything out. By the second stop, we had gotten a little loopy from the burrs we were drinking. So,
well, you saw me the second I walked into Double Mountain.
Yes.
And I was like, hey, Mike. Mike was like, are you okay? And I was like, let's just do this. No, but we made it work.
And we got down to Freeman. Things got a little off the rails during that one, but that's okay.
Yeah, but it was fun.
It was very fun.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Met some cool people.
Yeah, I'm just glad that it worked out.
Business card.
Oh, snap. You want to start a pile like I do at my house?
No. I leave them in my wallet until I realize, why do I still have this? And then I just don't.
It was Friday, and I was at work, and my closest contact at Freem, I have her phone number, and so I pulled out my wallet, because I'm pretty sure I had a business card from her at some point, because I do keep some on me, but they usually just end up in a pile in a drawer at home. And I pulled it out because it was like, oh, of course I have her contact. And it wasn't there. And I had two other contacts from Frame, but I was like, I don't really remember who these people are. And then, of course, I did remember who they were. Long story short, we made it happen. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I came out. And I think the podcast is just going to be fun to listen to. A couple of different perspectives in the interview portions that we did. And for those who liked the Stormbreaker episode, which was our first podcast takeover, we did a double whammy and did Freeman at Double Mountain. So check for that tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, make up for, you know, our shortcomings last week, which was kind of unforeseen by us and other people we were trying to mix with. It was really our fault, but not really our fault.
It was not our fault.
I think it was just kind of nobody's. Well, I guess there is one person's fault. But we don't got to blast him at all, do we?
No.
You know, it's not like Rick messed up or anything.
No.
We don't got to blast people randomly.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, life's good. And so thanks to you guys that have been listening to the podcast. We really appreciate it. You can download it iTunes, Google Play, 1080 The Fan website, you know, and you can always, Mike tweets it out. I try to tweet it out, but you can also find it on Instagram with me. You know, Mike's at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. I'm on PD085 on Instagram. And it's really fun. And what are we doing next week, Mike?
Next week, we are doing the GABF episode as you leave bright and early tomorrow morning for Colorado.
You know what's really cool is I love this show that we do so much that about probably about an hour ago, I forgot that I have a plane to catch at 6 a.m.
That you're going to go home and try to fall asleep as fast as you can and probably fail because it's...
No, because I have to pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cleaned my house today, though. So my house is clean. So Ray, my child, has a clean house to destroy while I'm gone.
Yep.
So I have to pack. Dang it. You were like, oh, GABF. And I was like, dope, I get to go to GABF. Oh, crap, I have to go to GABF tomorrow.
Yep, 6 a.m.
So that'll be fun. And then in 2 weeks, we'll have the Oktoberfest.
Correct. We'll have the Oktoberfest and may or may not be on location for that. We got to get that finalized. But
I hope we make that happen. That'll be fun.
So that'll be coming up in 2 weeks. And then we're going to try to do another on location one, or I think we didn't fully decide what we were doing yet. But yeah, that's the next couple podcasts.
Cool. So that'll be fun. Check it out. Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Like I said, Google Play, iTunes, 10athefan.com. We tweet it out. I Instagram it, and that's where you find it. Okay, when we come back, we'll take a quick little dive into the National League West. A quick little dive into the National League West as that is continuing to be a fascinating story. And speaking of stories, one of those teams has an interesting story. See what I did there? Mike Lynch behind the glass right now for the second hour. Patrick Harris here, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Quick little Timbers updates. 70th minute, Timbers up 3-1. Somebody asked, so I'm here to help. We got story time with Uncle Patrick coming up here in about 15 minutes. It's a story most of us know, but I'm reading into this, and there's a lot of crazy stuff that is actually, like, deep into this that I didn't know. And I like to think of myself as a crotchety old-timer that knows everything.
Well, yeah, if you didn't know it, I'll probably definitely not have known this stuff.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you might have known some of it, but there's just so many tiny little things. I got to remind myself to get through all of them to make sure I touch on them. Because okay. If you read it, it's great, but, you know, you got to make sure to say it.
All right. Well, let's see what happens.
All right. So we did this last week in the 9 o'clock hour. We kind of talked about the Rockies were in first place in the National League West over the Dodgers. And they were going into a series with the Dodgers, and I would say if you asked me at that point, I thought Rockies had the edge. Well, Kershaw goes out last night, pitches decently. Dodgers win. I think they won the night before, too.
Dodgers have a couple wins in a row, yeah.
So now we're in a situation in which the Colorado Rockies are no longer in first place. Now the Dodgers have a game and a half lead, but they are playing them one more time, so that can swing. But what I didn't realize is that how close the Dodgers at the time were to the St. Louis Cardinals for wild card, because I'm looking at the standings now, and the Rockies are only a game back from the Cardinals.
Yep.
Brewers are starting to kind of, they got three games, which I know can turn overnight, especially because they play in the division. I don't know if they play each other again necessarily, but.
There's only, what, like 9 games left? Or
yeah, there's not much.
Or 10, so that's hard. That's hard to make up in 10 games. But
yeah. And so we're looking at the National League West has gotten even crazier. I still don't understand why the Dodgers are good. Maybe it helps that Yasiel Puig had like 6 home runs in 48 hours. What happened?
That's what happened. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's hard for me to fathom. But it did happen. So I can't hold it against him. And it's tied 2-2 in the 7th right now.
I'm with you a little bit. That I still don't fully get the Dodgers just because I mean, I get them, but I also thought that they were struggling way more than I thought they would this year. And they're still in the playoff hunt because, well, the NL West and they're the Dodgers, and you just kind of imagine they're going to do that. And I still think there's something in the back of my head where I go, Rockies and Diamondbacks just aren't ready yet. Where I watched them play, or I follow the standings, and it's like they're really good right now. But when are the wheels going to fall off? And right. I think last year that started to change with the Diamondbacks, and then they got destroyed by the Dodgers in that playoff series after we were all like, oh, well, they beat the Dodgers the entire regular season. Didn't matter.
And then they smoked the Rockies in that wild card game. I think that game was on. We were on the air.
I think so, yeah.
And Arizona just took it to them.
Yep.
I think it happened later in the game, but I think they took away. Well, what I'm looking at is...
So do you feel that way, though? Do you feel like the Diamondbacks and Rockies just aren't ready to take that next step?
It's like a loaded question for me internally, because I believe the Rockies are good enough to be at the table in the playoffs and put some sort of fear into a team, into a sense that I might even be willing to say, I think the Rockies will win this series. The Diamondbacks, I'm not there.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
Even though the Diamondbacks have a better starting staff.
Even though, yeah. But I love, and this is probably my own personal bias, I love, love, love the nucleus of the Colorado Rockies. The Charlie Blackmon, DJ LeMahieu, Nolan Arenado. Imagine if Carlos Gonzalez could have been good. Like, he fell off the earth and died, and now they're missing a gap in right field. But I mean, it's kind of been replaced by Trevor Story. And we'll get into Trevor Story in a second. But I just truly believed in the nucleus offensively for the Rockies. But I mean, I'm looking at the Dodgers' remaining schedule. They got Padres at home, and then they're on the road against Arizona and San Francisco to finish out. I think Arizona's done. And
Arizona's what, 5 games back now or something?
Arizona's 6 games back.
Yeah.
And then the Rockies, I just saw this. The Rockies are at Arizona, home against Philly, and home against the Nationals. And the Nationals are going to try to play spoiler. It's a tougher schedule at the end for them because the Phillies still have something to play for. They're probably out, but they still have something to play for.
It's the Dodgers now to lose. When we talked about this last week, didn't I say I thought it would be the Rockies? And yeah, no, that series against the Dodgers, that was it right there.
That's it. This is the series. Yep. If they have to win tonight to have a chance. They got smoked on Monday. They lost in a walk-off last night, which is just probably the deal breaker.
Yep.
That's probably the final blow. But gosh, I hope this goes till the end of the season, because I think this is all we have right now. I think this is kind of all we have.
Yeah.
I think the Brewers are in. They get a 3-game lead on St. Louis. Unless
how far back from the Cubs are the Brewers in the NL Central? Because that, I think, could be another one too, which could still be close-ish. Because yeah, but yeah, you're right. Because we know the Braves are in the NL East.
Yep.
We know it's Cubs, Brewers in the NL Central.
Cubs are up 2.5.
So that's doable.
It's doable. But if the Brewers are to catch the Cubs, that 3-game lead they have over St. Louis is probably going to get bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. True.
I guess
just thinking about the top of the NL Central, not necessarily the wild card, but just could something switch there. But no, I mean, we're kind of to the point now where we know the American League.
Oh yeah, we're set on that.
We're set. We have been for quite some time. In the National League, we know almost all the parts. Almost all.
Almost.
So I think we're a couple of days away from knowing the playoffs, basically.
Yeah.
Especially if the Rockies lose tonight.
Ugh, if the Rockies lose tonight,
so the wild card would be then Rockies Brewers, right?
No, wild card would be Brewers Cardinals.
Oh, wow!
But the Rockies are only a game back from the Cardinals.
Okay,
as we speak now, then
that's not over. Then. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, then that could go to the end of the season for sure. Cardinals, Brewers, Rockies, all in a bunch for the last 10 games of the season. I can get down with that. Little West Coast start time games.
I just don't know. I want the Rockies so bad to be good. And I just don't know what it's going to take for them to push over the edge. And
to leave Coors Field because they need pitchers who cannot pitch in the
I suppose that's true. That we talked about this altitude. Earlier as you and Kelsey were stuffing your face with burgers. That stadium's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
She went when she was in Denver. I was jealous.
So it's not even the stadium. They got to get out of that town.
They got to get out of the state, really.
Bye. We are now the Laramie, Wyoming Rockies.
Nope, because that's even higher.
Is that higher?
Pretty sure it's higher.
But it's like you can see Nebraska from Laramie.
I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure that Wyoming's...
Well, like Western Wyoming might be higher up, but even Eastern?
Laramie, 7,165 feet up.
Man. Who even put a team in Colorado in the first place? Who did that?
Wait, Denver is, why meters? Why meters? Okay, 5,280 feet. Yeah, Denver's lower than Laramie, Wyoming.
Who decided this? Are we stupid? Did we think the earth was flat at the time?
Why meters? Where in the U.S.?
Well.
Look, I know meters is probably.
The fact that you saw Laramie in feet and then looked at Denver and it was in meters, I can understand your frustration. However, everyone else
look, Patrick,
uses meters but us.
I understand that meters is a better term of measurement, but I don't know it. So get with the program, Google, and know where my location is. Thanks.
Never allow. Click never allow. Would you like Google to access your location? Click never allow. And they're like, too bad. We know anyway.
Yeah.
And then to pile on this Rockies thing, oh, man, I feel like this is the funeral for the Colorado Rockies, and I really hope it's not. To pile on, Trevor Story has some UCL issues. I listened to an interview with Charlie Blackman on the Rich Eisen show this morning. By the way, fantastic interview. Charlie Blackman's great. I love that
guy. He's a goofball.
Yeah, I love that guy. And he was just kind of saying that there was a combination. There was a swing and a throw that Story did in the game the other day. That just kind of...
Charlie Blackman, the doctor now, all of a sudden.
That just kind of... No, he was like, yo, I talked to my boy Trevor. And he was like, yo, I was throwing and I was hitting and my elbow hurts.
That's what Charlie Blackman sounds like. Yep.
That's what he sounds like. And Trevor Story's had himself a pretty decent year. By no means is he the MVP candidate, but he could finish top 10 in an MVP vote, I guess, if I had to rank him.
Oh, he would definitely be top 10.
And so losing him, he's almost the cargo... That's not there anymore. And losing him is pretty tough, but it sounds like he's kind of day-to-day. If he doesn't play, they were saying
he was day-to-day, which I thought was strange. But I guess from what we learned from Shohei Ohtani is you can hit through a UCL injury.
Not from what I learned with Corey Seager.
Well, I don't know about throwing, though. So
yeah. I mean, Corey Seager's been on the shelf all season because of it.
Well... But I think it also depends, like, are you protecting a future asset? Are you trying to make it into the playoffs right now kind of thing?
If the Dodgers had Corey Seager, they're not trading for Manny Machado.
True. But now they got Manny Machado.
I suppose.
I'm just talking about the timing of the injury.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah.
You're not going to play Corey Seager the entire season to make the playoffs. You're going to rest him.
Well, the Angels are playing Shohei Ohtani, and they don't have anything to go for except for my fantasy league. So thanks, Anaheim, for playing him.
Yeah, I don't know. That is a weird one.
That is something we should get into at some point.
I think we had it in the notes and then never got to it.
Why are they playing Ohtani?
I don't know. They
should have shut him down 2 months ago.
He's going to get hurt worse, and then he's going to be out for two full seasons, and then what was the point of signing him in the first place?
By the way, you see that John Heyman reported that the Angels might offer Mike Trout a lifetime contract?
I did see that.
He'd
be a fool to take it, but...
Does lifetime mean the lifetime of your playing career or, like, your entire life?
Little Bobby Bonilla deal?
Yeah, like Bobby Bonilla on crack, California style.
I mean, it might be like that, I suppose. Honestly, though, I mean, Mike Trout might want to stay in Anaheim because it's low-key and he's low-key, but he'd be a fool to take that deal.
Yeah.
The amount of money he's going to get from various other teams in free agency, whenever that is...
He looks so good in a Cleveland Indian uniform.
Honestly, he'd look good anywhere.
That's true.
Ain't the best player in baseball for nothing.
Problem is like any team he could go to, I would hate.
But you love Mike Trout.
Like if Trout was in a Dodgers, Yankee, Red Sox uniform, jump off a cliff. No, I wouldn't do that. Jump off the St. John's Bridge. Duh, it's more beautiful. By the way, I'm not serious about that. Okay, so when we come back, it's story time with Uncle Patrick. But first, we got Mike with sports.
Oh, yeah.
Zarowski slammed the four-bagger to end the game and the series with victory for the Pirates. Sweet revenge. a Cinderella story of baseball, and the hometown fans went berserk with joy.
And forgotten stories from the major leagues.
And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the bird poop.
Gather round, folks. It's story time with Uncle Patrick on 1080 The Fan.
This week, we take you back to the great days of 1983. July 24th, to be exact.
Okay.
We're at Yankee Stadium, Mike.
Oh, boy.
This is not a Yankee story. Well, it's kind of a Yankee story.
Well, we're at Yankee Stadium, so it's partially involved, at least.
It's kind of a Yankee story. The Kansas City Royals are in town playing the New York Yankees. And the Royals are trailing 4-3 with two outs in the top of the ninth. Royals got a man on base. Rich Goose Gossage, the Hall of Famer himself, is on the mound.
True story.
He's on the mound, and he gives up a two-run bomb to another Hall of Famer, Mr. George Brett.
That was what that drop was, by the way. True story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's, I knew it was coming when you said Royals.
I figured you'd know this story. Everybody knows this story, but I dug a little deeper into it and learned some crazy stuff. But I'll walk you through the story in case you haven't heard this. So George Brett hits a home run to put the Royals up. Puts the Royals up 5-4 in the top of the ninth. As George Brett crosses the plate, Billy Martin walks out. And this is where things start to get wild.
Billy Martin, Yankees manager at the time.
Billy Martin, the Yankees manager, a wild, crazy dude. He's about my size and half my weight. Walks out and argues that George Brett has too much pine tar on his bat. The umpire, Tim McClellan, looks at it, measures it, looks at the dugout, calls George Brett out, who immediately erupts out of the bullpen in like a crazed psychopath.
Yeah.
Like an absolute crazed psychopath for a July game. To argue his case, he's separated. A bunch of people are tossed. They finish the game, blah, blah, blah. That's not really what I've decided to get into. I was just going to tell this story because it's such a great story because of how insane George Brett went. Like, I've never seen anybody more crazy in baseball than him.
I know. And I think part of me was like, is he just like playing this up a little bit?
No, because we all know this story.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of little tidbits in this that are like blowing my mind. Did you know that Tim McClellan, as the home plate umpire, was a rookie umpire that year?
Really?
This is his first year as an umpire in Major League Baseball.
Wow. So no wonder he went so straight letter to the law that year.
Yeah.
With the pine tar.
Yeah. This stuff is crazy. And then I found out that Greg Nettles, he's the one who told Billy Martin of the pine tar rule.
Greg Nettles did?
Yeah. He was like, hey, coach, not at the time, but he had informed him like a year earlier because Thurman Munson was in the same kind of situation.
Oh, RIP
Thurman. I know. I didn't mean to bring up Thurman. But that's kind of how Billy Martin found out. And you can't blame Billy Martin for, you know, trying to find an advantage, right?
Of course.
Right. That was Billy Martin.
Yeah.
Plus, he was going to get fired and rehired yesterday and today and tomorrow.
Any manager will do that. We've seen things like that all the time where they, you know, like, I mean, it's usually not as innocent as pine tar because pine tar is allowed on bats. But it was,
right.
You know, like just looking for sticky substances or stealing signs or all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So here's another thing. So the Royals protested the game. Do you know about this?
No.
So the Royals protested the game. Their protest was officially heard by American League President Lee McPhail at the time. MLB Rule 1.10 states the bat handle for not more than 18 inches from the end may be covered or treated with any material or substance to improve the grip. Any such material or substance which extends past the 18-inch limitation shall cause the bat to be removed from the game. An illegally batted ball in which the batter was declared out under provision rule 6.06.
Okay.
That's the baseball rule. However, McPhail upheld the Royals' protest. He says that McPhail noted that the spirit of the restriction, quote unquote, on pine tar on bats was based not on the fear of unfair advantage, but simple economics. He was worried that pine tar would touch the ball, therefore scuffing the ball and not being able to use it. And therefore, the home team had to pay for an extra ball.
Interesting.
So, like, let's talk about, like, old school baseball problems.
Right,
like,
when
today,
money's not flowing
in,
like.
Yeah, today crane. They're just like, whatever, dude. I think someone breathed on this ball. I want a new one.
Yep.
And they get a new one. So that's what it was. He said because he believed that George Brett was not trying to alter his bat, not trying to get an advantage.
Right.
So he upheld it. Thus restored Brett's home run and ordered the game resumed. So I guess he didn't really restore his home run because he was called out and the game kind of changed after that. So the game resumed. Oh, sorry. No, he upheld it. So Royals are up 5-4 with two outs in the top of the ninth inning. Although he ruled that Brett's home run counted, he retroactively ejected George Brett for his actions against Tim McClellan.
Huh.
So he was like, the home run counted, but you can't treat umpires that way.
Right.
So he was, quote unquote, tossed from that game.
That's pretty crazy. I didn't know all that extra stuff. That's cool.
And then, let me see. I got to get to it. Resumption of play. This game still keeps going. So it gets replayed on August 18th, a scheduled off day, with 1,200 fans in attendance. The Yankees charged $2.50 to come to this game.
To watch four outs, essentially.
Because Steinbrenner was like, oh, hey, might as well make some money off this. So Brett's tossed. The coach of the Royals, Colavito, sorry if I'm mispronouncing, or a bench coach, Colavito, and manager Hauser were also ejected in that game, so they were not there as well. There's rumors around where George Brett was because he did not attend to the game. They had a four-game series in Baltimore coming up, and he apparently told them, I'll see you in Baltimore, but he was seen in Newark Airport playing hearts.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
A still furious Billy Martin symbolically protested the continuation of the game by putting pitcher Ron Guidry in center field and Don Mattingly at second base. Bert Campanaris was injured, and Guidry replaced the center fielder Jerry Mumphrey, who had been traded to the Astros. By keeping Mattingly and Guidry in the game and filling in at needed positions, Martin was able to avoid wasting a possible pinch hitter or runner, was his argument.
And he was just doing it to be a D.
Yeah, and Mattingly, let's see. No left-handed pitcher had played second base or shortstop in a big league game since some Indian in 1970.
That's crazy. I'm assuming the Royals wound up winning the four inning game.
I think they did. It'd
be hilarious if they played it and still somehow lost the game. After all that.
I believe they did win 5-4.
Makes sense. That's a lot of action. I didn't know all those details. Very cool. I appreciate the story now. It's a little deeper than I knew.
Me neither. I thought we would just talk about... I thought I was going to see here and we'd laugh about, you know...
George Brett being angry.
Yeah, that's what I was like, blah, blah, blah. And then I started looking into it and I was like, whoa, this thing is way crazier. What tipped me was that Tim McClellan, rookie. He, for me, is like...
Well, he's gone now, right?
Well, right. But he, for me, is a part of every controversy in baseball for like a 20-year period.
Him and Joe West. And Angel Hernandez.
Angel Hernandez. Angel Hernandez, he's on my list, and he's still in the league.
And he still gets into trouble all the time.
And he still gets into trouble. But Tim McClellan, yeah. I was like, because if you look at the replay and you see him, he looks like a major league umpire. You're like, oh, there's Tim McClellan. Of course, he was the guy there that day.
He was the one of the slowest strike call of all time.
It'd be a strike.
He'd be on his knee, he would stand up and either do nothing or slowly raise his hand.
Yeah.
And it was like, and the pitch is a strike.
Strike. let's see. The loss placed the Yankees in fifth place, 3.5 games out of first. Yeah, 1-2-3, bottom of the ninth. Royals win 5-4. Quinsbury gained his league-leading 33rd save, while Mattingly lost a 25-game hitting streak.
And because he got pushed.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because he hadn't played that game. Oh, no, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Although, wouldn't that game then retroactively count back to the July 25th, though?
Like
the suspended game, wouldn't it not count at August 18th or whatever?
I don't know.
Because you're just continuing the game from the 25th. That's lame if they actually made him lose a hit streak for that.
Yeah. Apparently, George Brett used the bat for a few games after the incident until he was cautioned and said that bat would be worthless if it was broken. And then the famed collector, partial owner of Yankees, Barry Halper. I don't know this name. Do you know that name?
No.
Bought it for $25,000. George Brett had second thoughts, rebought it back from him, and donated it to the Hall of Fame where it sits in Cooperstown.
That's cool. I didn't know that either.
And there we go.
Nice little article you found there.
Yeah, right? I love baseball.
Is it Wikipedia?
It's totally Wikipedia. But hey, dude, this thing is like in depth.
Oh, yeah.
Dale Murray was
I'm sure there's like documentaries about the game and all that kind of stuff with real interviews.
Dale Murray started the game.
Dale Murray?
The original game for the Yankees. He started the game and Gossage came in and yeah, man. Is this more of a Billy Martin story or a George Brett story? It's George Brett because the explosion, but Billy Martin started it.
MLB story.
But Billy Martin started this. If Billy Martin wasn't such a punk, this wouldn't have happened.
I guess.
He's just mad because Goose gave up a home run?
Yes,
well, go get mad at Goose for giving up a home run.
It worked until it didn't.
Suppose that's true. Worked until it didn't. The spirit of the game. You like how it's like that guy broke a rule, but I'm going to let it slide.
Right, because it's not really the spirit of the rule. Yeah.
Anyway, that's story time. We'll do that next week. When we come back, we'll finish this bad boy up, make it up as we go along, as we always do. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
1080 The Fan.
To the text line, I understand that may have been a Yankee story. I get it. But do you know how hard it is to dive through the depths of baseball and get away from Yankee stories? I promise, I don't do this because Mike is here. I promise you, I would love to not tell Yankee stories, but they're literally the best stories.
Well, yeah.
They're literally the best stories.
They were also the most publicized stories. There's probably a lot of...
True.
Probably a lot of great stories that don't have a lot of information out there because they weren't a big team, Dodger Yankee, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, maybe there's some random, like, Braves story or something, like Milwaukee Braves story.
Right.
Something with Hank, something like that.
By the way, bottom of the seventh, Dodgers-Rockies tied 2-2. Yasiel Puig comes in as a pinch hitter, and it's a three-run blast.
Of course he does.
Dodgers up 5-2, yeah. Going in the top of the eighth.
In the top of the eighth, two outs already. Nolan Arenado up, but he's 0-for-3 with a strikeout, three strikeouts.
Dude, if they lose tonight, that might be the...
Well, that's the death knell for the NL West, but as you said, two games out in the wild card. Cardinals also lost today.
Come on, guys. Come on! Ugh.
He's not a Rockies fan, ladies and gentlemen. He's an Indians fan.
I know.
But he's a NL team Rockies fan.
Yeah, I think they're my NL team. I think so. I think they're my NL team. I enjoy them. They got a lot of players alike. I couldn't name you three pitchers on their team. They got Wade Davis, right?
Yep.
They got a dude named Freeland.
Kyle.
They got a dude named Gray.
John.
Just named three.
Chase. They've got a Chase something, right? Or is Chase Anderson a Brewer?
Chase Anderson's a Brewer.
Mm.
I know.
They have another Anderson, though.
I know because I dropped him yesterday.
But they have another Anderson. Mr. Anderson.
Oh, dude, they got Brian Shaw.
That That is true.
I know there's setup and closer.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah, baby.
Got you, baby.
They had Greg Holland, and he was bad.
Was he bad?
Or was it the Cardinals who had him when he was bad?
I think the Cardinals had him when he was bad.
He had like an 8 ERA this year, and they cut him. They dropped him like it's fantasy.
I think he got...
He got picked up again by like the Nationals or something.
Yeah, I think he was bad on both the Rockies and the Cardinals.
Is that what it is?
Man, that's such a sad story. That guy was so good.
He was, but he's also
so
getting older.
So good.
And he got hurt, too.
Yeah, he had Tommy John. And they won the World Series. He was their closer when they lost to San Francisco. When they had, he was the closer, Davis was the setup, Herrera was the dude behind him.
Yep.
And then he goes down, and Joaquim Soria comes out of nowhere, and their three-headed monster is still alive. And Wade Davis turns out to be the better closer, and they win a title.
But hasn't Wade Davis been bad for the Rockies this year, too? Or iffy, at least?
Yeah. But he was good for the Cubs.
That he was.
Didn't win a title because they had Chapman.
You ready for an injury note that you probably forgot about?
Uh-oh.
Brandon Morrow still hasn't come back.
Oh, I saw that. He's done for the year. Yeah, he's done for the rest of the year. That makes things a little different for the Cubs, right? Kind of.
You would imagine, yeah.
Their bullpen was never great to begin with.
No,
who becomes their closer?
He was really solid. Well, I mean, they've had someone. I don't remember who it is. I feel like they added somebody at the trade deadline. But they've been pitching someone else there because he's been out since, like, June.
Yeah. Hmm.
I'll double check. I remember seeing it, but I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Yeah. I'm starting to kind of, now I'm starting to think, like, what are we going to do next week?
Did they make Pedro Strop the closer?
God, I hope not.
Because he got hurt too, didn't he?
That'd freak me out if I was a Cubs fan.
Well, right now they've got Strop, Carl Edwards Jr., Steve Cishek, Brandon Kinsler.
Dude, I bet you Cishek is their closer.
Brian Dunsing.
I've had Cishek in my keeper league for like 2 months now because he gets holds. And he's getting holds because they're up in games. He might be their closer.
He might be, but... Currently, they have three closers listed on Roster Resource. Jesse Chavez.
That's like Wazoo's quarterback depth chart.
Jorge De La Rosa and Steve Cishek are their three closers.
Why don't they have Ruby De La Rosa?
I think it's because Strop was their closer, and he got hurt.
Okay.
Maybe a Cubs fan out there will let us know, but I think that's what it was.
Oh, man. Those guys might be in trouble, dude.
I don't think so. They're the Cubs.
What do we do next week? We've got a couple games.
Do we preview playoffs? Last week of the season, right? Or second to last week?
It'd be the last week if you said there's 9 games left.
There's 10 or something, yeah.
Ooh, maybe we'll know more. Maybe we'll know more.
Maybe we'll have the playoffs already set in front of us.
Maybe the Dodgers will just screw it all up. Maybe the Red Sox will go on a 10-game losing streak and the Yanks will go on a 10-game winning streak.
Wouldn't that be glorious?
Maybe the Astros all of a sudden also do the same and become the number one seed and the Indians get the Red Sox. That'd be dope. I would love that.
Well, that would be the worst collapse ever, right?
If
the Red Sox lost out and the Yankees won out and they took the division from them?
Without a doubt. I mean, it'd be something on story time with Uncle Patrick in like 10 years.
Yeah.
I'd probably do it 1 week and be like, so there was this time. 2018, you're like, what? That happened yesterday. And it's like, I know, man. It's worth talking about.
You should do the Cardinals-Braves 9-game collapse as a story time one day.
Ooh, that'd be fun. I'd have to find a way to, like, spin it to make it really nice because it's not Big Jugs. Like, Big Jugs just gets you going.
Oh, they always do, Patrick.
They always do.
The Big Jugs have never failed to get me going. I'll tell you that much.
Right. So for Mike Lynch, I'm Patrick Harris. This is the Hot Corner. We'll see you guys next week at 8:00. Don't forget to check out the Beers on Us podcast, as you can find that on iTunes and Google Play, as we were at Double Mountain and Freem. We'll see you next week. Go do something I would do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.